Well, as I said, a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you that on May the 27th, it'll be our last service here at the Park Inn. And on June the 3rd will be our first service at the Susquehanna Club. And what I wanted to do today was to just share with you the process of how that came about. As you know, we have been asking God for a church home, a permanent home, where we could set up everything the way that we wanted. It gets to stay there. The equipment gets stayed up and put in place and all of those kinds of things. And God has heard our prayer. The thing is, God doesn't always answer prayer in the way that we expect him to. Maybe I'm the only one that's had that happen. But I'm guessing if you've ever prayed and you've asked God for something, it probably has not occurred in exactly the way that you wanted it to. Can I encourage you something? If you pray for something and God does it differently, go with his plans. Just a little something. Jot that down if you're not sure. Go with God's plans. I have found every single time he knows much better than I do what I need. Even the things that I ask for, that I go, God, I really think this would be important in my life. I'd really like to have this, and I don't get it. How many times have you looked back later and gone, Jesus, I just want to thank you for not giving me what I asked for back there. That would have been a big mistake. That's because we trust him. We trust the Father. But as we came to this place of making this decision about making the move, there were many factors that came into it, many things that we had to consider. The first and foremost of everything that we do here was, do we believe that God is leading us to do this? That's the first question that has to be answered. And as a matter of fact, obviously, that's not a church question. That should be a life question for us. Is God leading me to do this? Is he bringing me in this direction? Is this God's will for my life? Well, we not only ask that about our lives, we ask that about our church. Secondly, what would it mean to us as a church to move practically and logistically? Those things also need to be considered. You see, I hope by now you know that we just don't come in here and just throw things up and go, well, whatever happens is good. We'll see. I've been to some churches like that, where that's the way that they do things. It's for God. He understands. No big deal. It's kind of my fetish that I have with signs. I'm preaching on that this morning. That just kind of occurred to me. I'm with you, Nick. I'm good. Signs, to me, are you never will see a handwritten sign at Remnant Life Church. No handwritten signs. They have to be typed. They have to be printed. They have to look nice. You're going, Pastor Dave, we all knew that you were a little off-center. Now we're convinced. What's the big deal? Who cares if a sign is written or if it's printed? Well, to me, it demonstrates what my effort is for him, or what our effort is for him as a church. That's why I believe that no matter what size church you are, no matter what ministry you're in, do your very best, always, for God. Do your best. Give your best to him. Because certainly he gave his best to us. He gave his only son to die for us. Does he deserve anything less than every effort that I have for him? So what's that going to mean for us? If we move, how's that going to change the things that we do? And then finally, in what way did we realize that this situation was different than other opportunities that we've had? We've been meeting here since April the 23rd, 2012. Wait, not April. September. I was really close to that. I was really in the ballpark. September 23rd, 2012. We've been meeting here at the Park Inn almost every Sunday. And we have had multiple opportunities to move to other places. We've never done it. So what made this different? Well, what spoke to Katarina and to me about making this decision was a sign that we had asked God for, and we believe that he gave us. Now, a sign has a lot of different meanings to it. If you look up the word sign, S-I-G-N, in the dictionary, it says a number of different things. Number one, it's a physical motion or gesture meant to convey a meaning or a signal, like an instruction. Obviously, easiest one to think of, baseball. You got your third base coach out there, and he's doing all kinds of things, making motions, and all of the signals and signs that he's doing is giving an indication to the base runner or the batter what he wants them to do. That's a sign. It can be, for you musicians, it's a musical notation. A sharp or a flat is called a sign. It's obviously, it's something that indicates a place of business. There's big signs out in front of the building here that says the Park Inn. That's a sign. It tells you what's inside. It's even used in the animal kingdom. They talk about an animal that will walk around and mark an area. It means that they're putting a sign in that area. But here's the definition that refers to what we're talking about this morning. A sign is something that's material or external that stands for or signifies something spiritual. That's our definition of sign. It's an external thing. It's something material that stands for something in the spiritual. And that's what happened to us. Now, there are a lot of places in the Bible that it talks about it. Turn to Judges. Are you there? I gave you like the whole service to find Judges. I think it's the seventh book in the Old Testament. Judges, the sixth chapter. Because this is one of the most familiar stories of a sign in the Bible. A couple of places I want to read. Starting the 16th verse, Judges 6, 16. You with me? We're talking about signs, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Verse 16. It says, the Lord answered, 6, 16. Am I in the right place? Yeah, I am. It says, the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Now, let me give you the background just in four sentences. God is talking to Gideon. Gideon became a judge over Israel. But prior to that time, God had come to him and said, Gid, I'm going to have you lead the nation of Israel against the Midianites, because Israel had sinned. And God had given the Midianite nation power over the nation of Israel. But God had come to release them and to free them. God came to Gideon and said, you're the guy. You're going to do this. So verse 16, the Lord answered, I will be with you when you strike down all the Midianites together. So Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. The Lord said, I'll wait until you return. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat from an ephah of flour. He made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out, offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place both of them on this rock, pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consumed the meat and bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. That was a sign that God gave to Gideon. Now, go down a few verses to verse 36. And this is the one that you're probably familiar with. Again, Gideon says, God, just one more thing. Verse 36, God said to Gideon, if you will save Israel by my, or Gideon said to God, excuse me, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. And that is exactly what happened. Gideon rose early the next day, went and squeezed the fleece, wrung it out the dew, and a bowl full of water was collected. Verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, God, don't be angry with me, but let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test or sign with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry, the ground covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Those are signs that Gideon asked God for. Now, that's not the only one. At the very beginning of creation, God himself demonstrates a sign. In Genesis 1:14, now we talked about this a few weeks ago, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. So God himself, by his creation, gives us signs. You go a little bit further into Genesis 9:12, the story of Noah. God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. What was the sign? It was the rainbow. That was a sign that God was giving. In Exodus 12:13, this is the 10 plagues. Number 10 is the death angel that's going to come through Egypt and even pass through Goshen where the Israelites lived. But here's what it says, Exodus 12, 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So God is using signs all throughout the Old Testament. And then there's the story of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, and you read this in 2 Kings chapter 20. Hezekiah is the king of Israel and he's become sick. And he cries out to God and says, God, would you please heal me and let me continue to live? And the Bible tells us that he came to Isaiah the prophet and told him, he said, Isaiah, I really don't want to die yet. He said, could you ask God if I could continue to live? And here's what happened just quickly, and you see the sign. Hezekiah asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now? Isaiah answered, this is the Lord's sign so that the Lord will do what he's promised. He asked him, shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or shall it go back 10 steps? What you have to understand is it's at the palace. They would use various means to be able to tell the passage of time. And in this palace that Hezekiah was in, there were stairs. And where the sun's shadow fell on the stairs told them approximate time of day. So Isaiah says, do you want the shadow to move forward or do you want it to move backwards? And here's what Hezekiah says. He says, it's a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps. Rather, have it go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called on the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. Again, a sign of God's intention and what he was doing. You say, well, Pastor Dave, that was the Old Testament. That's not the New Testament. Not so fast. Yes, God still used signs in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, in Luke 2:12, the birth of Jesus is announced with a sign. The angel is talking to the shepherds, and you know the verse. It says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then even Jesus himself refers to them. After he had fed the 5,000, he said, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. God still uses signs, church. He still uses signs today. If we ask him. And this is, though, I think the place where so many Christians get nervous, because we equate asking God for a sign as if we have no faith in him. Is that not true? Is that not what some of our thinking is? I'm not going to do that. If God said he's going to do it, I don't need to ask for a sign. Well, there are good signs, and the Bible is filled with them. But Jesus also rebuked people in the Bible that asked for signs. You go, great, thanks, Pastor Dave. Now I'm totally and completely confused. How am I supposed to figure this out? Well, watch what he did. This is in Mark 8:12. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. Big surprise. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they were asking him to perform miracles and signs. Why? Because they wanted to trap him. Because they wanted to test him. And Jesus rebukes them for doing that. And he says to the people that asked him about signs, he said, unless you see a sign or wonder, he said, you'll never believe. So when is a sign wrong? It's wrong when it's being used in place of your faith. That's when a sign is wrong. When you ask God for a sign because you don't believe that he's going to do what he said that he's going to do, that's wrong. So there are good signs. And there are bad signs. So how do you know what the difference is? Well, here's the definition. Here's what I want you to hear me with this morning. Here's the difference. Asking God for a sign is not requiring him to confirm what he said or promised. It is to bring us into an alignment or an agreement with him because of our weakness and to prevent us from being led astray. That's what a sign's for. It isn't to make God go, well, listen, I said I'm going to do it, but if you don't believe me, here's a sign. That's not what it's for. We ask God for signs so that we can come into an agreement and an alignment with what it is that he's doing. Not because of what he wants to do, but because my faith that can be so easily pulled away. Counterfeit signs that can come into our lives if we're not careful, because Satan wants to be a part of this too, you know. He's always trying to weasel his way into the things that God's doing in a perverted and a twisted and a counterfeit way. Think back to Exodus 7, where Moses and Aaron are standing in the court of Pharaoh. Now, Mo just spent some time at the burning bush. I call him Mo. We're close. He's standing at the burning bush, and he gives God five different reasons why he doesn't think he's the guy to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Five reasons he gives God. I can't. What if? I don't know. I can't. Five times. And every time, God had an answer for him, and every time those answers pointed Moses off of himself and back to him. But you remember one of the things he said, listen, God, what if I stand in the court and they don't believe me? And God said to him, see that staff you got in your hand? He said, you take that with you. And when they were standing in the court, Moses gave Aaron the staff. Aaron took the staff, threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Well, Pharaoh went, big deal. That's nothing. He called his boys over. He said, come here, guys, do your thing. Because there were magicians in Egypt at the time. And they took their staves, threw them down on the ground, and they also turned into serpents. But what was the difference? You see, that's a counterfeit power. It doesn't mean that it isn't real, but it's not from God. And so the serpent that Aaron threw down, the Bible tells us, consumed or ate the two that the men from Pharaoh's court threw down. Church, God's power is always greater than that of the enemy. Always. Always. And you may feel like some things are happening in your life right now and you're being hit and you're being pushed from side to side. God's will always be accomplished. Can I encourage you, never lose sight of that, even in the midst of the struggle. Don't lose sight. Satan always wants to get in and try to mess things up in that way. And then you go all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation. In the end times, Revelation 19:20, here's what John said. He says, the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshiped the image. So church, we have got to be aware of what the right signs are and what the wrong ones are. We have got to know. And the only way that happens is when we're seeking him, when we're seeking the Father. Now, what does this have to do with us moving? What's this sign thing have to do? Well, a few years ago, when we had begun to think about more intently about moving, for no other reason than I think we just felt like our time here was coming to an end. Now, this was several years ago, so you see how God's time often works. We thought it was going to be really soon. And sometimes I think God just says to us, just keep your shirt on. Right, just relax. I got this. If you say that in the Greek, it sounds much more spiritual. Keep your shirt on. I don't know how to translate that. But we began to pray about this, and Katarina had come to me. And she said, I want you to know that I've asked God for a sign for where we're going to move. Because we've been looking at different places. We've visited more places than I can remember. And none of them were where we should go. Sometimes just for very practical reasons. Sometimes they wanted more money than that thing would have been worth to burn down. And sometimes we just got out and went, no, this isn't it. Because we were asking. But she said, I'm going to ask for a sign. And she said, the sign I'm going to ask for is that wherever it is that we're supposed to move, we're going to see a bald eagle. That was the sign. Now, as you know, an eagle is a logo of our church. That's one of our parts of our logo. This has very, very much less to do about football. I'm trying to assure you of this even as I say it. Much less about that, and much more about Isaiah 40:31. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what's important for remnant life. But the eagle is such a majestic bird as it flies, just so powerful, and you see the eagle in the Bible a number of times. Now, there are eagles in Pennsylvania. Not a lot. Scientists estimate right now, I was looking all this up, that there are about 500 eagles in Pennsylvania right now, give or take an eagle or two. About 500 of them. The vast majority of them are located, however, on the eastern part of the state and on the western. There aren't that many in this area. There is a pair in Hanover. I know this because I've watched the Eagle Cam. And have you seen the Eagle Cam? They've got a permanent 24-hour camera sitting on that nest, and you can watch the eagles. It's awesome for about 35 seconds. And then you're going, he's just sitting there. Are you going to do anything? So there aren't that many eagles in this area. But Katerina had said, listen, I want you to come and do it. And I came into agreement with her. Wherever we go, there's going to be an eagle at that building. So consequently, when she and I would go visit places to look at, you'd normally would get out of the car and you'd start looking around at the property and look at the parking and looking at the lighting and all that kind of thing. We didn't do that. We got out of the car and we're doing this. What, do you see anything? I don't see anything. What do you say? Now, even innocently, when you are looking for a sign, you have to be careful. And we learned this in several years ago. This is actually before the church even started. This was back in February of 2010. So it really didn't have anything to do with our church, but it does demonstrate that you've got to be careful that you don't project yourself on something in order to make it happen. This was 2.5 years before the church even started. We had pulled up in front of the house and gotten out of the car and were heading in, and our neighbor used to have a very tall poplar tree in between our houses. And Katerina came back in and she said, come back out here. You've got to see this. Look at this. So we went out to the road and we turned around and we saw that in the top of the tree. And we're looking and we're going, is that what we think it is? That's an eagle. There's an eagle sitting here outside of our house. Look at that. Look, there's the white head. And so we went and we got, and she can see we had the camera. So then she took a second picture of it. And you know, we're kind of, wow, we're going, look at that. That thing's magnificent. Don't make any stunned noises, all right? Just take your time, because as long as it sits there, maybe we can get some great pictures of it. And then we came around to the other side, and we took another picture, and we saw this, and realized it was a squirrel nest with a white plastic bag sticking out of the top of it. That's our eagle. You can make almost anything be what you want it to be. We were all fired up. This had nothing to do with the church, but we're going, holy cow, there's an eagle right here in our house. It's a squirrel nest. I don't know how that plastic bag got up there. I have no idea how that happened. So you do have to be careful. Thank you, Paul. Much more recently, I think this was a little more clever of Satan. I really do. I don't think Satan was involved in that. I think God was just going, I thought that was an eagle. But I think this next one, though, happened. Katerina and I had gone to look. There, we found out there was a small church that was available off of Wurtsville Road, down near Enola, off of 81. And I had driven down there myself a couple of times, looked at it, got out, walked in. It had been empty for a while. It would have taken some work. But it was one of the very first times that I actually looked at a place and thought, this could work. This could work. Now, I'm doing this. I'm looking, I'm going, there's no eagle. How come there's no bird here? This would work. So I went and I got her. And we came back and we looked at it. Now, the next time we came back, on the sign that was out front, it said contract pending. So somebody had put some money on it, or at least was inquiring about it. Well, that didn't mean anything, because as you know, my belief is I'm a very simple person. If God wants us to have it, it doesn't matter what else is going on. We're going to have it. So they got this sign out. So we get out, we're walking around, and we're going, you know, if we could do this and look at that, it's going to take some money. But man, we've got great people, and they'll stand with us, and we got people with talent. We can do a lot of this stuff, and we're going on and on. So we get back in the car, and we pull out of the driveway. The radio comes on, and we hear these lyrics coming from the radio. And the eagle flies with the dove. That's a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song. And we're thinking to ourselves, okay, wait, there's the eagle, and the Holy Spirit's the dove. Oh my gosh, this is great. How's this going to work? There's a contract on it. We don't care. Who do we contact? Who do we call? Well, it wasn't long after that we drove back again just to begin to pray, and it said sold right across the front. Today, that building is a Muslim mosque. Wasn't our time. Wasn't our place. But if we weren't careful, we would have probably begun to do things that would have made no sense, would not have been wise on our part, because a sign does not replace the presence of the Holy Spirit. It does not replace the Word. It does not replace prayer. It does not replace the counsel of wise people in your life. What's that? That's right. And that was the other thing that I think the enemy was trying to be clever about. That wasn't what we asked for. To believe that would have been to dumb down what it was that we had asked God to do. Okay, I got purpose in all this. All right, you with me so far? All right, we're talking about signs. When you ask God for a sign. So, this leads us up to February 25th, this last February, last service that we had at the Susquehanna Club. And had a great time together. The guys led worship for us, had a wonderful service. But at the end of the service, we were putting things away, getting everything put together, and I was walking up towards the front. Most everybody had already left. But I was walking up to the front, and as I got up there, I was reaching down to grab something, probably a cord to wrap it up, and out of the corner of my eye, I caught a flash of movement go by the window, and it was big. But the other thing that I realized was, as I saw this thing go by, that there was a flash of white with the shadow. And so I stopped because my heart started doing this, and I thought, no, calm down. Just relax. That wasn't what you thought it was. But I walked up to the glass, and just as I got there, a second one came across, and sure enough, there were a pair of bald eagles that were flying outside the window at the Susquehanna Club. The first one I saw took off and shot across the river over to one of the islands, but the second one came and lit right in the tree outside the window. So I got out Katarina, I said, come on, man, I'm getting everybody else. We're all looking. Karen took a picture of it. We got a video of it flying. It's great. But right about the same time, Katarina and I looked at each other and we went, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. This is the Susquehanna Club. It's a military base building. So, of course, I get Sharon, Karen's sister. She's the general manager there. I said, Sharon, come here a minute. I have to buy this building. Can you give me a price? I don't understand, but I need to buy this building. I'm going to get Jeff Bean to help co-sponsor this, and we'll be good to go. But I said, Sharon, and we began to share with her what it was that this meant to us, that there was an eagle outside this building. And Sharon said, after we told her the whole story, she said, well, listen, she said, I need you to understand something. She said, I have been praying privately for a long time that you would want to come here and make this place your home. We said, Sharon, we can't. This is the Susquehanna Club. It belongs to the government. I mean, we have to be able to meet regularly. There's no way that we could meet regularly here Sunday after Sunday. And she said, why not? I said, well, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I do know that for us as a church, the single most important thing we have is where we meet. This is, you have to be consistent. When you don't have your own church building as a church plant like we are, if you don't have a building, you have to be consistent where you're meeting. Otherwise, people begin to think, are you guys for real? Are you gonna stay? So we have to meet in the same place. The consistency is important. As a matter of fact, back when we started, some of you remember this, on that exact Sunday that we began this church, there was another church that was starting downstairs, exact same Sunday. Now, they were a denominational plant. But after a few months, I came back in to talk to my sales girl here, and we were working on the contract for the next quarter. And she said, well, she said, these dates are good. She said, but these four dates in this month, the other church has booked the room there where you are. They booked your room. I said, well, I said, wait, what? They did what? She said, yeah. I said, the other guy came in. I'm going to call him Jim. That's not his name, but I know the guy. He and I, we know each other. She said, yeah. She said, Jim booked the room. I said, you know what? I'm going to have to leave. I said, I need to take care of some things first, then I'll come back and we'll finish this up. So I went out to my car, and I'm punching numbers in the phone. I'm going, just relax, just be cool. I get Jim on the phone. Jim, how you doing? Good, Dave. How are you? I said, I'm okay. I said, Jim, I'm over at the Park Inn. You booked my room? Jim, you booked my room. What? Why are you doing? He said, we just thought maybe we'd just change some things and do some. I said, Jim, you booked my room. I said, would you be willing to get together with me for a few minutes? He went, yeah, it's okay. So we went and we had breakfast together. We got to breakfast and I said, Jim, I said, you're killing me. I said, I have nothing else but meeting in our room every Sunday so people know that we're there, so they know that they'll come and they can worship with us. Now, to his credit, God love him, he had already made arrangements to go somewhere else. I guess he caught the tone in my voice on the call. I don't know how well I hid that. Probably not well. He said, we're going to go somewhere else. He said, I don't want to do that to you. I said, Jim, I said, I really appreciate that. Thank you. So the consistency of meeting at the Susquehanna Club was going to be very important to us. Sharon said, listen, she said, you can have this room every single Sunday from now through the end of the year. With an exception, I think, two Sundays. We're actually going to meet in the other big room, those of you that have been there, where you normally have the meals. We're going to meet in there one or two times. But there are several factors that made this something that not only Katarina and me, but our entire board agreed it was the time to do this. The first one was this, is that we knew that our time to move here was getting closer and closer. Now, how many of you know that when you believe a change is coming, the timing of that can be as great a demonstration of your faith and your willingness to trust God as anything else? Trust Him. Again, God's timing is rarely our timing. It's never my timing. I never get that right. Maybe some of you are better at that than I am. But I never seem to get God's timing right. But I have always learned that if my time doesn't agree with His time, I'm changing mine. I'm going with Him. So we have felt that the time has been coming that, yes, it's time for us to go. It isn't that we haven't loved being here. We've been here every single week, few exceptions, for 5.5 years. We've come to know and love a lot of the staff that have been here. Got one of our dear ladies back here visiting with us here this morning, and just so glad that you're a part of what we're doing. We've been able to pray for people. We've had guests that have come in on some Sundays. We had a whole family reunion group come in one Sunday. That was a hoot. That was fun. But there have also been a lot of challenges here. We have weathered the storm through countless numbers of managers and general managers, all of the salespeople, the setup staff. I think there was a period of about, was it 2 months, Dave, that I think I was coming in like at 6 a.m. because I never knew what this room was going to look like, and I'd spend an hour setting up the room. You know, that's not something, though, where you go back and start yelling at people, though, because, see, I believe that that, as much as anything, was the witness of what Remnant Life Church was here. Church, it's easy to be a good, kind Christian when things are going well. What about when it's all blowing up around you? Then who are you? And you've heard me say that so many times here. Being a Christian isn't about the easy times. Being a Christian is about when the enemy's coming after me, when I've taken blow after blow, when I have really messed up something severely, who am I then? Who am I? Am I holding to Him? Is my countenance still one that brings glory and honor to Him? So we felt like it was getting close to time. This will also give us the same chance to minister to their staff as a church as we have to this staff here. I've been blessed many times to be able to pray with a number of the folks that work here. A couple years ago, I remember the entire sales staff, I got a call from one of them and said, listen, they said, Pastor Dave, would you be willing to come in here and pray with us? I said, really? I said, what's going on? She said, well, and her voice got real quiet. She said, we're just really having a hard time with each other. It's not a good atmosphere. And I suggested maybe you'd come in and pray with us. Would you be willing to do that? I said, can I get in my car now? When do you want me there? So I got here, and the entire staff had come in. Some of them weren't even working that day. And I got us in a big circle. We all held hands, and I had the chance to pray over them. What a blessing that is. Church, that wasn't Pastor Dave praying over them. That was Remnant Life Church praying over them. Well, we're now going to have that opportunity over at the Susquehanna Club to love on them. Another thing that we felt was very important is that being at the Susquehanna Club is going to allow us to have a presence in a community. We're going to be in the midst of homes, of neighborhoods, and to be able to have outreach and to be able to touch them as well. It's not the easiest place in the world to find, certainly a little tougher than this one. But to have the privilege of being able to minister to a community like that is going to be very important. And just on the very practical side, as a church, I think God's going to bless us. We're going to be able to save literally several hundred dollars every single month by going there and not losing anything. Now, I will confess, this was not a grand slam. This was a 3-run home run, easily, deep left field. It wasn't a grand slam because there's no place there for us to store our equipment. Still going to have to do the truck. Still going to have to do the rental and all of that, the setting up and the tearing down, taking it off site. But even that we're working on. There still might be a solution to that. So church, it became very evident to each and every one of us on the board, those of us in leadership, that it was time. And I'll tell you what else God also gave each and every one of us, and that was such a peace about it. The peace that passes all understanding. You want to know if you're moving in the right direction? What's the condition of your heart? Do you feel that sense of calm about where is you're going? Are you anxious? Are you not sure? You're wrestling with some things. If that ever happens, church, I want to encourage you, step back and wait on Him. Wait on Him. Well, just to finish this up, we do have some concerns. I do have a few concerns. I'm concerned that will everyone come with us? Church, that's probably the only true hesitation I've had about any of this, because I don't want to lose anybody. And sometimes when churches move, people go, well, that's not as convenient. I understand that. People say, well, I'm used to this place, because change is difficult no matter what it is that you do or when you do it. Church, I don't want to lose anybody. Matter of fact, I'm praying that God's going to increase us. And as new people come in, I don't want to do this without each and every one of you. I want you to be a part of what it is that God's doing. But I also understand you may need to pray and say, God, am I going to go? Am I going to continue to go to Remnant Life, or do you have somewhere else? And you know what? I'll love you and I'll hug you. I'll pray for you. I'll release you. I'll hate it, but I'll do it. But that's in God's hands. Change is always a challenge. But when you're changing because you are following the direction of God, the old saying goes, if God ever opens a door, He provides the way for you to go in. And many times if the door closes, there's a window that just popped open on the other side. Church, God always has a plan for everything that He's doing. He knows what's right. And He knows that it's time for us to take the next step. Now, I got to admit, there was a part of me that was a little bit confused, because I honestly thought that when we moved, we would be moving to our own permanent home. It's not time yet. That's okay. It's okay. God's got the time for all of it. And what I want to ask each of you to do is to begin to pray and ask God, God, what's next for us as a church family? What's it going to look like? When you move from a new location to another, it's a great time to begin new things within the church. And so we're going to be looking at some of those things. I'm going to be in conversation with our board members to ask them to begin to pray and to think about what are some things that we may want to change a little bit. But more than anything, I just want us to stay together as a family, to continue to love, to continue no matter how many people God brings to this church. This new room holds, I think, 250 comfortably. I can't conceive of 250 people. That actually freaks me out a little bit. I really like who we are right now. I'll love you if you come, you know, as a brand new person. But the fact is that whatever it is that God's going to do, we need to be ready for that. To welcome every person that walks in with open arms. To continue to be known as a church that is loving and kind to each and every person that comes in. And it's not because we're kind and loving, it's because we're showing the love of Jesus everywhere we go. And so can I continue to encourage you with that? Everywhere you are, be a demonstration of who Jesus Christ is in your life. Whether it's the same place you've always been, whether it's a brand new situation, our seniors are going out doing some brand new things. You guys are going to have challenges like you've never had before. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be bad, but they're going to press you. They're going to push you. Who are you going to be in those times? Are you still going to be that young man, that young woman that brings glory to God by a countenance that radiates His presence within you? Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You this morning that You are directing us as a church family. And God, all we know is we want to be where You are. Just want to be where You are, Lord, because we know that when we are in that place, that it's a place where miracles take place. It's a place where hearts and minds are healed. It's a place where cancer and disease is healed in Jesus' name. It's a place, God, where we continue to grow in our faith so that when the enemy comes, when the struggles come, when the persecution comes, as Paul said, it's going to build my perseverance. It's going to build my faith. It's going to build my hope. And God, even it's going to build my joy, because I am going to see You operating in and through my life in a way that just fulfills who You've created me to be. And so, Father, I pray blessing now over each and every person in this room as they go. I pray, God, that You would go with us, keep us safe. Lord, every opportunity that You give us, may we always take it to demonstrate Your love, to share Your love with people around us, the joy that brings. May God, we just bring a smile to someone's face. because we say a kind word, because we offer to do a kind thing. God, in all of these things, we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.